This episode was recorded in front of a live audience on August 29th, 2019. From Burl and Block, welcome to It Makes You Think, a show that explores the crossroads of learning and design. I'm Chris Eisenga, and I'm the co-founder of Burl and Block, a human-centered design studio focused on products and tools for learning programs and education. Every show, we'll interview thought leaders in these fields and ask them about their work, its impact, and how they're getting wiser. On this episode, we welcome Stacy Putka, Program Director for Defy Ventures Colorado. Each week in America, approximately 10,000 people are released from prisons, and the majority will struggle to find any kind of employment. Compounding this issue further, according to a 2016 report from the U.S. Sentencing Commission, is the fact that within 8 years, roughly 50% of those released from prison are rearrested. When you loosely round those numbers out, this means that more than 250,000 men and women go back into the system every year. One organization, however, aims to change all of that, in part by working to change perceptions through interactions. These perceptions are not only those of incarcerated individuals, but of volunteer mentors as well, who work with these men and women to help coach them on becoming entrepreneurs. Here to tell us more about this work is Stacy Putka. Stacy is the program director from Defy Ventures Colorado, and I've asked Stacy to share with us tonight from her experience in working with entrepreneurs in training and with volunteers to make for one of the most unique, unforgettable, and life-changing educational experiences imaginable. And I'm truly honored that she's here tonight. Will you please welcome our friend, Stacy Putka?
Hi, Stacy.
Hi.
You are the program director now for Defy Ventures Colorado.
Mm-hmm. All right. Correct.
And before that, though, you were behavioral treatment services.
Yes.
Okay.
I was a clinical therapist at Behavioral Treatment Services.
Okay. Yeah. A lot of people don't know this about you, and this is the only time I'll bring it up, I promise. But
I
could just not bring it
you
up.
You can bring it up.
Okay. I don't want to bury the lead here. In 2014, you were crowned Miss Colorado.
Yes, sir.
How? So was that a little bit of a transition going from Miss Colorado to the work that you're doing now with Defy Ventures? And for those of you who don't know what Defy Ventures does, why don't you tell them?
We do entrepreneurial education for people with criminal histories. So we start working with people while they're incarcerated in prison and then continue to work with them once they're released, kind of helping them reintegrate back into society and then also helping them incubate their small business they started creating while they were inside. So I think you're asking, how does Miss Colorado end up in prison?
That's exactly what I'm asking, yes.
Surprisingly, it's not that much different.
Explain.
As Miss Colorado, your job is to go to different events and be in the community and connect with people. And you can be in a variety of different places doing that, from a children's hospital to Washington, D.C., to big corporate events and, you know, Habitat for Humanity type fundraisers. So you're doing all different types of things, and you're constantly in a utility position where your goal is just to connect and create relationships. And that's what we do in prison.
Aaron and I have both had an opportunity to volunteer with Defy Ventures, and it is hands down one of the most life-changing experiences that I think a person could ever have. Truly, the work that you and Bob, who couldn't be here tonight, the work that you're doing now is just spectacular. And when I participated, it was Arkansas Valley Correctional Center.
Mm-hmm.
What are the other ones? And I know one is a women's prison now.
Yeah. So we started out in Colorado State Penitentiary, which is the state's only level 5 maximum security facility. So it was initially designed as, if you think about administrative segregation, that's probably the buzz term you hear if you watch any kind of prison TV shows or ad seg, right?
Mm.
So it's designed for people to be in complete isolation at all times. Since we've had some really, really progressive movement in the Colorado Department of Corrections, and they've actually banned administrative segregation, and no one can be in solitary confinement for extended periods of time anymore. So the facility has changed, but it is typically where people are sent once they've broken some kind of rule within the Department of Corrections. They don't have a lot of programs there, so we're we have a really, really wonderful relationship with the facility because they love to have us and we love to be there. Arkansas Valley Correctional Facility is the second one we went into. It's a medium security facility. We're able to serve more people there just because of the security level. They have lots of programs and lots of access to programming, which is really wonderful. And then we just expanded this year into La Vista Correctional Facility, which is the women's correctional facility in Pueblo, Colorado.
Wow.
And we're able to serve 30 women there.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you.
That is really exciting.
Thank you.
How far into the program at La Vista are we?
We just hit the halfway point, so we kind of bookmark the program with three separate events. A kickoff at the beginning, a coaching day in the middle, and then a business pitch competition and graduation at the end. So it's an 8-month long program, and they just had their business coaching day, so they're about 4 months in.
So La Vista is the only women's facility you work with currently. What are you seeing are the main differences in how the entrepreneurs in training respond to the Defy Colorado training program there versus the other facilities?
Well, there's a lot of differences. I think on the specifics of the facility, it's really different because when we first started working at Colorado State Penitentiary in Arkansas Valley, they didn't have any context about who we were or what we did. So there was a lot of learning and constant communication about all these weird different things we wanted to do, like bringing in caps and gowns for graduation and bringing in teddy bears for people to give to their families and those kinds of things that other programs just don't typically do inside correctional facilities. And it was really wonderful because when we switched to La Vista, the warden at Colorado State Penitentiary introduced us there and got us into the program. And so they have been so easy to work with and accommodating to all of that because we're starting to build a little bit of credibility within the department, which is wonderful.
Yeah.
And I think the differences in working with the populations really, I mean, we all know men and women are different, right? So there's a lot of differences there. The women's homework is done perfectly every single time. They have a lot more desire to want to know the right answer, though. They're they're much more uncomfortable with ambiguity, which could be a factor of being women, but could also be a factor of being incarcerated, right? Because there's not any kind of ambiguity when you're incarcerated. You know every single detail of every single day. And it's the same thing of we've built the trust within the communities at the other facilities. And so as the guys go through the program there, they're like, okay, like I know six of my buddies that went through this class and they were okay with it, so I'll be okay. And this is the first time the women in the in that facility are going through this. So it's taking a little bit of time to build some trust and credibility, but I think it's happening.
Wow. Tell us a little bit about the homework.
Well, they have four textbooks throughout the 8-month program, and they have a 2-hour class session every week, and they're doing about 3 to 4 hours outside of class on homework every week.
Okay.
And it kind of builds on each other the same way, hopefully, you would build and grow as an entrepreneur. It starts with character development and identifying your value set, identifying how to live a values-driven life, diving into your own psychology a bit and figuring out what your own self-limiting beliefs are, and then we combat those with self-freeing beliefs. And then building into career readiness and kind of employment readiness. So a lot of people have never had a legal job, so creating a resume is really difficult. But we teach them how to do that because they have experience, and it's just all about switching the way you look at it. We work on interviewing skills and how to disclose that you have a criminal history at a networking event or in a job interview. And then we start to work on the entrepreneurship piece. And that's, they have journaling activities and different deliverables that go with each of those topics. But by the end of it, they have a 20-page reentry plan and a business plan.
Now, you have given a presentation for TEDx Boulder recently, a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
You made the point that a lot of the time the issue becomes, I'm trying to re-enter.
And I can't.
And I can't. Yeah. I cannot get employment. Yeah. And I'm actively seeking it out, and I cannot get this. And you asked the crowd, and you could have heard a pin drop, would any of you hire somebody with a criminal record? How do we get past that?
Empathy. Vulnerability, connection, realizing that we're all humans and we've all made stupid mistakes. And it's not a novel concept, but when you take a group of people into prison and bring that up, it's like, oh my gosh, yeah, I have done some stuff in my life that I'm not proud of.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that are incarcerated become known for that one thing or that series of things. And I definitely am not the same person now that I was when I was 16.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we continue to define people by who they were 10, 15, 20 years ago? And so I think people just have to take that first step and that first leap and recognize that people with criminal histories are human, just like us.
Yeah.
And they deserve a legitimate first chance, because most of the people in our program never had that. So it's, you know, second chances has that the kind of ring to it that uh-huh. people like. But for me, it's more just a real first chance.
Yeah. For those who go and volunteer, I know there's that first day, and you had mentioned building empathy.
Mm-hmm.
And there is this remarkable exercise that you do, and everybody I ever tell about my experience, and I know Aaron also shares this, it's this idea of like step to the line.
Yeah.
And it goes on. Mm-hmm. And on. And it's this empathy building exercise. I'm probably not doing it justice here, but if this is true of you,
yep.
step forward.
Yep.
And when we were with you guys at Arkansas Valley, I was shocked at the number of times that I stepped forward and so did the men across the aisle from me.
Yeah.
And you said something that really stuck with me, that some of us are not on the other side of this because we just didn't get caught.
Yeah.
Right? But there's still that point of realization. It's just like, they did the same thing I did.
Yeah.
I did the same thing they did. And the only reason I'm not here is, A, I didn't get caught. And then we could devolve into conversations around privilege and power structures and all of that. But,
yeah.
you know, it's how do we help the business community get that empathy, because no one's actively seeking it out necessarily, right? I agree with you that empathy is one way that we can absolutely do this, that we can really start to put a dent in this issue. But how do we now, how do we do more outreach? How do we get more people to actually wake up and to be like, I ain't so great.
Right. Be humbled a little bit. You know, I think that's a question that we're asking ourselves every day and trying to figure out the answer to. It really is amazing, though, what just word of mouth communication can do. So if one person hears about it and they tell three of their friends and one of their friends reaches out to us and comes in and volunteers and then they tell people, it's just this ripple effect that has a really authentic grassroots feel to it. So just tell a friend, tell someone that you care about that has hiring potential, that has the ability to make a difference in this space, which we all do, that this is a problem that our country is facing. And it's also a really expensive problem that our country is facing, and that we can solve it together, but we have to think of creative ways to do that.
Yeah. So you enter into this field.
Mm-hmm.
You'd graduated out of, I think you got your master's from University of Denver.
Yeah.
Okay. And you go into it, and then you hear about this opportunity to go into prisons? I mean, what? Was that like an Indeed search or something?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Just prison.
New job, prison. No, well, if I rewind a little bit, my dad had recovered from addiction right before I was born.
Mm.
And had lived his whole life in this recovery lifestyle. And I was always so inspired by him and loved watching him live that way. He was one of the most intentional people that I ever knew. And he always would talk to me about his therapist that originally helped him get and maintain sobriety. And so I was like, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be a therapist and I'm going to help people end up to be just like my dad. So I started working in therapy and just stumbled into working with men that were on parole.
Hmm.
And as I was working with them, I started to realize how broken the system was and how it was really set up for failure for them. Mm. And they'd have to overcome these insane odds that just felt impossible. And I know that if I was faced with those same odds, I wouldn't be able to overcome them. And so I started to get really angry at the system, and I started to want to figure out how to fix it. And my husband actually read a blog from Brad Feld about DeFi, and he's the one who signed us up to go volunteer in prison. And we did the Step to the Line activity, and I went through the whole thing just like anyone else does that comes in and volunteers with us. And I knew that that was what I wanted to do, and I wanted to figure out how to be part of that and how to start to collaborate with the Colorado Department of Corrections to provide a really important resource and fill a gap in their system that's really necessary.
Wow, yeah. I can't imagine that you can do this kind of work, anybody could, and not be changed by it.
Yeah.
How has all of this changed you?
It's the least likely of places to think that you're going to change and grow and learn something new is a prison. And it was also really humbling to think, oh, I'm going to go in and make such a big difference and change all these people's lives and help them learn entrepreneurship and become just as changed, if not more changed myself in that process. We had a graduation ceremony the other day, and one of the guys wrote me a note that said, "Thank you for finding me so that I could find myself." And I just like immediately started sobbing because I feel the same gratitude towards them for helping me find myself. Hmm. They're some of the best examples of living an intentional life. We'd have guys in our program who would set an alarm for 4 a.m. and do their morning devotional and write letters to all their family and then spend 4 or 5 hours teaching themselves something that they were really interested in with books that they ordered from the library from across the state. And then they'd spend the time they had outside of their cell working on mentoring and talking to other people and creating programs for gang intervention and substance use recovery and art therapy. And one of our guys is a parapro for mental health in the facility and literally is like the suicide hotline in the facility.
Wow.
And he created this program himself, and they approved it, and he can go anywhere at any time to provide mental health support. And it's like, what am I doing? What? How can I be more intentional and more values-driven and more dedicated and focused? And I've also learned that you don't have to be perfect to do those things in the past 2 years of doing this work. And it's all because they've taught me that.
Stacy, you, Bob, the volunteers, and the entrepreneurs in training are doing just incredible work, and we sincerely appreciate everything that you guys are doing. Thank you so much for taking a few moments to speak with us tonight.
I so appreciate it.
Stacy Putka, everyone. Thank you.
That was Stacy Putka, Program Director for DeFi Ventures Colorado. Check out the work Stacy and entrepreneurs in training are doing by visiting defycolorado.org. Hey, thanks for joining us for It Makes You Think. You can learn more about what we're up to by visiting borrowandblock.com. This episode was produced by yours truly with music by Knockoff Music. I'm Chris Heisinger, and you've been listening to It Makes You Think.